The Neutral Position presents the wrap-up with Nick Palmisano.
Imagine a media agency that can make a documentary that qualifies for Academy Award voting. Imagine another that created a billboard-charting music video for Five for Fighting. Imagine another that has raised so much money for nonprofits in its first year working on the Classy.org platform that at the end of the year, it was named as only the second marketing partner in Classy's history. Imagine another firm that can cover your events anywhere on planet Earth and provide a compelling series of videos about those events immediately and to your needs. And imagine another still that can help your e-commerce business take it to the next level. Now imagine that they're all the same business, Diesel Jack Media. Some of you might be saying, hey, Nick, isn't that your company? And to that I answer, can a company like Diesel Jack Media really be owned? Or can it merely be coaxed out like a beautiful butterfly on a spring day? As you listen to this podcast that, by the way, Diesel Jack Media created, you may be asking yourself, what's our secret? It's simple. We try not to suck. Sounds easy, right? It should be, but somehow marketing companies and media agencies always seem to get it wrong. You see, we don't make PowerPoints about doing work. We do the work because we like the work. And if one of our ideas doesn't work, you know what we do? We try another one again and again and again until our ideas start to work. Because not quitting until it's right is at the heart of not sucking. And as previously mentioned, that's what we try not to do here. Diesel Jack Media, we try not to suck. Visit us at dieseljackmedia.com. That is dieseljackmedia.com.
What's up, everybody? This is The Wrap with Nick Palmisano, except Nick Palmisano is a bum and he's on vacation.
The first vacation that I know he's taken since I've known him, which has been about...
No, he went to Morocco last year.
9 years. That was top secret. That was for the State Department.
Was that right?
Way to go, Albert. Way to just, you know, give it all away.
Last year?
Yeah. It was secret. It was like he was like James Bond.
Yeah, maybe if we talk low enough that no one will hear it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Just kidding you, Albert.
Yeah. So he's on vacation. We do let him take a vacation every now and then. I mean, as if I should talk, I take the most vacation of everybody.
That is true.
Well, I told Nick before we ever started Diesel Jack that, you know, I don't really want to work anymore. So he didn't have to pay me much. And I would work while I'm here, but I always wanted to be able to go away.
That's good. And you do. And that's great because we get a break from you because you are annoying sometimes, Albert. Not that I don't love you.
That's fine. I can be annoying. Joining with me today, Hollywood Hurd, you know, the legend, and Dan Mercer, oddball. He has weird opinions. That's why we bring him here. Dan Mercer. No, his skin is actually that pale. That's not a... custom light.
They call me Dan the Glow Stick Mercer.
Yeah, you know, whenever Dan walks in the room, Hollywood's like, you know, he's the lighting specialist. He just turns them off. Like,
exactly.
Jesus, we need to put a shadow over him. Yeah. How do you deal with this guy all the time?
He's great. He's like the best wingman you could have. He's always there and ready to do what he needs to be done.
There you go. Right back at you, buddy.
There you go. These two, they have an interesting relationship. For anyone who's ever seen or been and walked in the offices of Diesel Jack, they're kind of like a married couple in that they kind of fight and pick at each other, but it's all in love, I guess. You know, you guys say
best friends.
I always swear each conversation is going to end in fisticuffs, but it never does.
So that's what you're waiting for whenever you see when we're.
I mean, I would rather you guys not yell at each other, but you know.
We're not really yelling at each other. We're usually yelling at the situation.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that never happens when it's just me and you.
Ever.
No, it's always in front of someone else.
Yes, you or exactly, Teresa. Exactly.
We look over and we see Teresa going.
Most people argue behind closed doors. Yeah, we just only argue in front of people. Like when we're behind closed doors, like there's no point in arguing.
Let's get it started.
All right.
Hollywood. Last week, you guys were talking about generative AI, how it's going to interfere possibly with the movie industry, and how it was going to be. I mean, it's going to be a real turning point. Of course, there's a strike going on, and right now, as we speak,
Sound of Freedom.
Of course, I know the title. The Sound of Freedom is changing, possibly, or can influence the way movies are made. So, if you're not following along, The Sound of Freedom is a movie about child sex trafficking and stopping child sex trafficking. It's an independent movie made by Jim Caviezel, and it has now beaten Indiana Jones 5. It is beating some of the other big summer movies that were expected to win. It's beating Mission Impossible. What are they on? Like 30? I don't know. The latest Mission Impossible?
First Mission Impossible. I just want to say this. First Mission Impossible, amazing. Brian De Palma, great movie. Not a fan of anyone since then.
Well,
the first one was like a mystery, not too much action. They had one ridiculous helicopter scene, but now it's just about explosions.
You
and
mean the helicopter, the ridiculous helicopter scene in the tunnel?
Yeah, I mean, I told you they had one ridiculous helicopter scene, but yeah. Now every new Mission Impossible, the whole movie is a ridiculous helicopter scene.
It's kind of like Fast and Furious; they just keep like upping the stunt level. But point being is that an independent movie, which is on a subject that I guess the studios never want to touch, probably because they're guilty of it. they don't want to touch that subject, is now beating all their big blockbusters. Hollywood, you got a chance to go see it, and Dan, you guys got to go a chance to go see it. Go talk. Tell us. Give us your review without spoiling the movie for anyone who's not seen it.
My review is, I'm going to say a 6 out of 10. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say a 6 out of 10 because the last third is a Rambo film.
But still impressive.
Still impressive, but still.
Yeah.
I felt like I was John Rambo and I was in Cambodia or Vietnam again and I was trying to escape from the POW camp and it kind of took me out of it.
We also talked about how it seemed like the movie was almost like a montage. The scenes were very short scenes.
Except when the characters that you and I were in, we actually had some depth.
Yeah, that's right. But very quick scenes, a lot of music. There was barely any scenes that were just like dialogue. There was always background music. It was an interesting kind of approach to filmmaking. But yeah, I agree. A 6 of 10. Solid movie. Impressive feat, what they've done for sure. We can talk more about how they've
done
it.
Give me some comps because some people might hear you say 6 out of 10 like, oh, they really hated it.
No,
give me
no,
a comp.
No, like, I only say 6 out of 10 because it went kind of Rambo. Up until that point, it was about an 8 for me. But all the criticism of this movie is that it's a conservative's movie. It's aimed at conservatives.
So bizarre.
Because they mention God twice in the
movie.
Two
or three times they say the word God, because that makes it conservative.
Or only conservatives care about child trafficking and pedophiles. I mean,
they're not espousing any like weird theories of like, oh, this is, you know, Hillary Clinton and a pizza shop.
It's more of the like,
the stuff that's really happening.
The stuff that's really happening, the rings that get broken up.
Yeah.
Now, I read a Rolling Stone interview, and I read a, what's the radio station that does, it's...
NPR?
National Public Radio Review. And their complaints were, is that it didn't really touch on the major issue in child trafficking. And that is 67% of child trafficking happens to 15 to 17 year olds. They were complaining because it focused on younger children, but that still means that 33% of human trafficking are under 15.
Right.
So they were bothered by that. They were bothered by the fact that
because every movie is supposed to be completely accurate.
Yeah. Every other
this
movie.
This isn't
made
a documentary.
By Hollywood.
Yeah. This is an
entertainment film.
Yeah.
They said there were some inaccuracies in it, like every other based on a true story Hollywood movie that's ever been made.
Exactly.
You know? But they're holding this to a higher standard, and it makes me question why. You know, they also said the movie didn't show what happens after people are taken out of child trafficking.
Yeah, because the
struggle,
movie
the things you have to do, the years it takes to get people okay again.
That's not what the movie was about.
If that's what you want, if all these agencies, if that's what you want, you got tons of money, you got CEOs making $100,000, $100,000.
Yeah, there you go.
Then make a documentary that cost $750,000 and really address the child and human trafficking issue. You have the ability, stop fucking bitching about what's not happening and make it happen and do it. That's what really bothers me because they have the information. They have the tools, they have the financing, but they don't want to
tell that story.
They don't want to tell that story because it's too difficult.
It's interesting to me, two quick things. So we talked about them calling it conservative, and you know, really, like they mentioned God a couple times, but you know, a movie, and I haven't seen Barbie, but you know, the joke is that, you know, if you take a shot every time they say the word patriarchy, that you'll pass out before the end of the movie. But if you call that left wing, then they're immediately like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you, you know, it's like offensive to the filmmaker. So, you know, and then the other thing is, on the flip side, you know, the we're being censored, and, you know, no one's allowing us to, you know, to be popular. And that's going to be a hard rallying cry for the conservatives keep making, because shit like this is blowing up. It's clearly popular. It's clearly not some underground movement where, like, oh, we're being censored and we got to rise up. It's like, damn, it's like, this is the most popular movie in the country. So it's like, you know, that kind of argument is, you know, it's an effective marketing technique of, like, people don't want you to see this, and, you know, we got to band together.
Yeah, that's probably a better marketing technique to say it's a great movie. Don't see this movie.
Nobody wants you to see this.
It's a great marketing technique, but it's like, clearly it is a mainstream movement.
Part of the problem is, you know, Jim Caviezel has made some outlandish statements, you know, in his history, in his past, you know, like, to the point that he has said that these child and trafficking groups are taking children's blood to get some kind of substance or something.
Yeah, adrenaline.
And there's not
adrenochrome.
That, adrenochrome, which is a little, you know, I'm not even talking about it. But you can't say that other actors haven't made ridiculous, silly claims.
I mean, I love Woody Allen movies, and look what Woody Allen's done. Like,
no one's bitching about Woody, right?
Not anymore. they've been married for a long time now, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So now that makes it okay now.
Well, I'm not saying it does, it's super weird.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But marrying your step... please, guys, don't marry your stepchildren. It's fucking weird beyond belief. There's no way that can go off as not weird.
But it's true. A good film,
even though they're still together.
It's like I said, it was an eight out of 10 to me, because it had a good message. I loved how it was shot, gritty, dirty.
Yeah, beautiful.
But the Rambo thing was just too much for me at the end.
And knocked it down.
And that's what knocked it down.
You either gotta, like, separate the art from artists, or don't at all. Don't just because this film, just because, you know, this guy is conservative, I'm not gonna separate the art from the artist. But if this person is, you know, liberal, I will. You know,
it's okay to be Barbie, but it's not okay to be Jim Caviezel.
So it's all art, and it's all, we should all, you know, have the right to make the art we want. I thought it was a good film, and I think the whole movement's interesting, and how popular it's getting.
But again, I do say, if you want to show what human trafficking is about, if you want it to be 100% truthful, if you want to show it from the beginning to the end, and the hard work it takes to get children
back, what happens to a person?
When what happens to them? Then
documentary.
Make a documentary about it. You want everyone to know, and you're bitching because this movie might have been misleading. Well, it was a movie, not a documentary. Put your money where your mouth is, and make a film that tells the story the way you want it to be told.
I love voting with the money. That's the only way to vote.
That's the only way to vote.
That's the only way to vote. Everyone else complaining about, not, it's like just always nonsense to me. And what you said earlier about you guys separate the art from an artist, that's true for anything. Like, we've gotten to a point where there's so many people that get mad over, like I'll use it, like, let's use a controversial figure like Chick-fil-A. You know, a lot of people, like the Trudy family and where they donate their money. And you'll always hear people rise up and say, well, you shouldn't spend money on that. Or, you know, you'll hear different, now my mind's blanking, so I'll stick with Chick-fil-A, right? But there's definitely people are like, where they see like one person inside of an organization does something they disagree with, and they decide, well, then this whole organization, everything that it's associated with, I don't want to be a part of it. People vote with their money. So the only way to get people to actually change the way they do things is exactly that. Like what we're seeing with Bud Light. Like, Bud Light's not going to touch certain things now, because now they've gotten killed, right? They're financially got killed. Target killed. Right? But Chick-fil-A, ain't nobody stopping them from donating their money.
Because no one wants to admit this, but the conservative people in America, and I don't mean have a lot of money that they're rich, but there's a lot of conservative people in America.
Of course.
And, you know, and like you said, they vote with their money. If they didn't like what Chick-fil-A was doing,
let's just call it half the country.
Yeah. Let's call it half the country.
Yeah. Even if you told me it was a, you know, not the popular vote, still like 48, 49%. That's enough. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
For sure. But yeah, if you're going to go through your life, you know, deciding not to purchase products from a certain company because their CEO did this or that, I mean,
you ain't gonna have
it's a slalom course of trying to figure out where you can buy shit from.
But that is your right, and that's how you vote by not spending money. It's like all these people that had already bought these coolers. I forget which cooler company they got mad at, and they were all blowing them up, you know?
Yeah.
Too late, bro. You already bought their coolers.
There's another guy that gets in trouble a lot of times. Is Jimmy Johns. I can't pronounce his last name because he's an avid big game hunter. He pays money to you know, shoot giraffes.
Yeah.
That's what he spends his money on, right? People are like, that's disgusting. But do you eat his sandwiches? Do you care that he kills tons of turkeys and pigs and whatever for his sandwiches? So at the end of the day, exactly. I mean, if you really care and you want to vote with your money, go ahead and knock yourself out. Yeah. But complaining on social, waste of time.
I love this quote from Yellowstone. These animal activists were giving Kevin Costner a hard time, and he goes, well, how cute does an animal have to be before it's okay to kill it? Because every time you plant vegetables, you kill every worm, every mole, every mouse.
When you harvest vegetables,
Well, when you plant it, because you're tilling up the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When you're plowing, you know. How cute does an animal have to be?
Yeah.
You know, so it's easy, you know, to put that those blinders up and say, okay, I'm not going to do, but in reality, what do you really stand for?
Yeah. We're being selective.
Yeah.
That's what it always boils down to, people being selective. So anyways, if you got a problem, don't see the movie, fine, knock yourself out. If you want to see movies and stories like this, vote with your money. And I mean, that's the only way to vote. That's you saw, if you vote, if enough people vote a certain way, like Bud Light, shit changes real fast.
Yeah. I guarantee you, if no one was going to see Sound of Freedom, it would already be out of the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's
money on the line.
The theater was on a Tuesday, right? On a Tuesday night at 8:40, the theater was 80% full.
Yeah. Wow. And it's been out a couple of weeks.
And, wow.
And everybody stayed till the credits were done.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Jim Caviezel came on and spoke for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What, at the end?
It's a really interesting marketing thing.
It's a very interesting marketing thing.
So they're saying that this is an important topic, and there's a QR code that comes up on the screen, and it says, pay it forward. So buy a ticket for someone who doesn't have the means. So, like, if Hollywood and I could have bought a ticket at Silver Spot Cinema, and it would...
Teresa's going to kill you for this pounding of the table.
Oh, okay. I thought we were banding together, you know. So we could have bought a ticket at Silver Spot Cinema, and I guess it gets left at will call or something, and so someone else could go see it. So they're saying that may be a reason that's, you know, the numbers are what they are, but it's actually really creative. It's interesting. So
it's like software companies when they say, like, hey, you know, refer a friend, we'll pay you $20 or whatever the case may be. It's how Dropbox got big, Google, you know. Yeah. Every time a software company launches, they usually have some type of pay it forward type program.
Yeah.
This is probably the first movie. It sounds like the first movie.
It's interesting.
Or, it might not be the first, but we recognize it.
Yeah. But it's like, buy a ticket for someone who may not be able to go otherwise. And so apparently there's like unused tickets around the country. I mean, of course, but it's really creative. Very interesting.
How can you buy a ticket for someone though? Because the theater is who collects the money.
You can send it to them. Like, you hit the QR code, you can email them the ticket.
Oh, okay.
Or you can just have it left a will call for someone that doesn't have a ticket.
Yeah, but like...
So like, I could go to the theater tonight and I could say, are there any tickets for Sound of Freedom?
Well, how does AMC get paid? So like, imagine I'm AMC.
Oh, I'm paying for it. How do I get paid? I'm paying for it when I'm scanning the code.
So the production house will reimburse me?
No, it's just you're doing it out of the goodness of
your heart. Yeah. They don't pay you.
You're doing it out of the kindness of your heart.
It's like a donation.
I'm like, I want Albert to see this movie.
No. You follow the money. So... Sound of Freedom website takes Dan Mercer's money. You send the ticket to Cam. Cam comes to my movie theater. I'm AMC Theaters. How do I get paid?
I guess they
figured out something else.
That I bought.
I guess
But you gave the money to Sound of Music.
No. I think the money may go to the AMC Theaters.
But yeah, it's however it's a regular theater, ticket.
Yeah, it's how a regular ticket's bought.
Okay.
It doesn't go to us. And then it goes right to the theater.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for those who are interested, so would you recommend someone see it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's just personal preference on me. Like I said, it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't a fantastic, I mean, it wasn't like I pray and I hope and I dream that, that Oppenheimer's going to be. I mean, I have to wait because, you know, I have to take Barbie to see Oppenheimer. Or she's
well, if you're in support
me.
Of independent filmmakers, you should go see it because
yeah,
that's the only way to get more dollars flowing into that pool.
That's correct.
Right? So whether you agree or disagree with the subject matter, there is no... There is no world where more independent movies are made if they cannot make money. No.
And there was another complaint that really pissed me off in the reviews I read because it said the movie took you to the brink of an ominous event that was about to happen and left you hanging. Well, yeah, because you're not going to show child pornography and child sex on in a movie, you know, because they were like when the guy was at the bed,
you know,
and then... Caviezel kills him, you know.
Yeah,
there was complaints because they dramatically depicted that.
Bizarre.
1 in 3 women experiences leakage while exercising. Moxie is the first leak-proof activewear brand that is working to break the stigma around women who experience leakage. Moxies come in leggings, capris, and shorts, making you feel comfortable working out however you like to work out. This woman-owned business makes all of its products right here in the old U.S. of A. Visit GoWithMoxie.com to get a pair for you or the woman in your life. That's GoWithMoxie.com.
All right. Next topic. Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to your weird one or are you going to go about to theft?
Let's go to you. Go to you.
All right.
We'll finish with the weird one.
Not that I'm a regular occurring member or personality on Neutral Position, but the last 3 weeks... I actually got a chance to go surfing in Nicaragua. I got a shout out to my boy Colin Wilson, Puerto Sandino Surf Resort. Anyone that wants to go surf waves, go check it out. They give you an idea of where this place is. It's a town called Miramar, Nicaragua, and it's really poor. The average person in Nicaragua probably makes like, you know, $200 to $500 a month.
Wow.
You know, $200 to $500 a month. And they usually typically do backbreaking work, mining salt, shoveling salt. Or unloading ships. So the ships, by the way, the ships there, they don't have like the modern container systems that can pull a container off of a cargo ship. So the cargo ships roll up to Puerto Sandino. You can't actually go up the river. So they get a barge. So they have to unload the boat's goods onto a barge and then take the barge into the river and then repack the trucks.
What?
That's how they have to do it. The ship can't roll right up to the river and unpack.
That's crazy.
Pretty insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but that's not what's crazy. So while I was there, I got I had an uninvited guest. There was a I went. You know, so I mean, this is me. If I say this, the listener, the audience, remember you're stupid. So I was sleeping with the door open, unlocked. So I'm sleeping in my hotel room. The door's unlocked. I mean, I don't really care. Like, what's gonna happen? I typically don't think about things.
One kidney surgery later,
I wake up. In the middle of the night, it's like, man, it's hotter. I wake up because it's, I don't know, the sound of air, whatever. And I noticed my
door. Was it the sound of freedom?
No. But the way my bed was situated in the hotel room, it was right by the doorway. So all I could see is the door is propped open. My first thought is instantly, oh, the wind blew it open. I didn't close it all the way because I definitely don't lock it all the time. And so I get up and I look down and there's a little Nicaraguan person. Might be a man, might be a boy. It's dark. It's groggy. I'm waking up in the middle of the night, rummaging through my stuff. And at first I thought it was the night security kid. I was like, hey, what are you doing? Because they couldn't process it. And the guy grabs my stuff and just bolts off. This is the middle of the night. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And then the night security guard shows up downstairs. And I'm not going to lie. Like, and I don't know if this is racist, but... Little Nicaraguans all look the same to me. Like, I can't tell them apart.
So you punch the little security guard in the face. Yeah.
So Javier,
not racist.
So Javier looks up and is like, hey, what are you yelling about? Oh, like, why are you in my room? He's like, I was in your room. He's like, no, someone was in my room. And then other people came out and like, you must have been seeing things. Like, no, I know someone was in my room.
Albert's thinking he's having a hallucination.
No, I know someone's in my room. So they're like, well, check your stuff. So I started looking around and all my stuff seems to be okay. But I go to get my phone. I can't find my phone. And I can see it moving because you can Google, like, find your phone. And it's on the move. So I tell the hotel operator, Colin, and this is in the middle of the night, the amount of Nicaraguans that stepped up to find this guy was unbelievable. I didn't put a reward on the phone. I didn't put anything. I was like,
in your mind, knowing you, Albert, you would probably be like, it's gone.
I was like, it's gone. Let's brick it. I lost $1,000, whatever, right. Move on. Life goes on.
Classic Albert.
Yeah. Right? And they're like, no, keep it on. We're going to find this guy. These dudes were pulled machetes like to cut the bush down. And like they were tracking this guy through a ranch into the salt flats where they pump a lot of ocean water. They have like these like big pits.
Right.
You pump ocean water, you let the sun evaporate it. And then these guys, that's what they do. They shovel the salt into trucks.
Dang.
That's when you get sea salt. That's what it is.
That's crazy.
So the guy was running. It's the middle of the night. I mean, the whole town is like zeroing in on this guy. And I don't know, this guy's a moron, but the El Pollo Bandito is what we call him. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Because I could see the cell phone moving everywhere. And it's moving through like the salt flats.
Yeah.
And so there's no like actual coordinates. So the guys are like WhatsApping me. I'm like dispatch, like, because I'm using another guy's phone at this point. Picture. There's uno mas. Like they just kept wanting pictures of where this guy was going. And then eventually they caught him.
That's badass that they did that.
They recovered my stuff. And then when they brought it back, they like, oh, we got your bag. I was like, I didn't lose a bag. It was another hotel guest's bag that he had taken.
With 400 pounds of Peruvian white.
And he opens it up, and the guy was stealing some Gatorades, some Florida Kana seltzers, and
three bottles of Florida Lunacy Man hot sauce.
And a bag of frozen chicken. And so we called him El Pollo Bandito.
El Pollo
the
Bandito.
The chicken bandit.
So, Colin, I want to say a big thank you to helping stop that crime. But the reason why I wanted to bring that story up is this relates to the news. Retail theft is on the rise. Earnings calls right now are different retailers. Target's already come out and said they're going to lose more than $500 million to theft alone this year.
That's insane.
And so when I saw what happened in Nicaragua, like the town band together to stop one thief, because they said like, you got to stop them because a lot of these homes in Nicaragua don't have doors. So if you're going to steal from guests, you're going to, you know, you leave your shovel out, thief might take it. You leave your bicycle out, which you saved so hard to get, thief might take it. So they wanted this thief done.
Yeah. Well, and the tourism, like they're probably like, these are our guests. We're making money from them being down here. Like, don't fuck that up.
Yeah.
You know?
And so like the whole community banded together. And so what I wanted to bring this back to for us to talk about is how does America recover and stop what is rising retail theft? So there's a couple things that are happening in retail theft in America that are basically creating a snowball of crime, right? We got a lot of DAs not prosecuting theft. So they don't want to prosecute them anymore. They say they're too small. In California, for example, if it's under 900, it's not even like considered a crime. I don't know how that came to be. So there's no prosecution. You have hourly employees that are scared to engage the perps. Then you have good Samaritans who also don't want to engage the perps too, like we saw with what happened on the New York subway train. Like you engage a perp, it gets escalated, you possibly kill or beat this person senseless, you could get prosecuted. So if I'm witnessing petty theft nowadays, probably not saying a word. I don't know. How does this change, or can it change? Or is America just going to be what's happening right now in a lot of these high crime areas? All the retailers are pulling out.
That's what's going to happen. You're going to find out that in these high crime areas, did you discuss yet that if you get in New York or somewhere, if it's less than $900,
California, if it's under $900, the DA won't prosecute you. So even if the cops caught you and brought you before a judge.
So what's to stop me from going into Target and stealing $800 worth of stuff?
Literally nothing.
Nothing. There's no penalty.
So is this pretty isolated to high crime areas, or
it's more prevalent in high crime areas, but it's not isolated there. I mean, there's theft going on at like high end malls around the country. Like theft is going crazy.
Do you think is there you know, obviously the fact that if you're not going to prosecute it, that's a reason to do it. Yada yada. But do you think there is a cultural or economical reason that this is spiking?
I'm sure it plays a part.
You know,
you're talking about high inflation, wage stagnation. So people are used, people were used to being able to buy things that they can't buy anymore. In the past, probably if you were to look through times when hard times fell, I think people consumed less shit.
Yeah.
Like that was typically the answer. Not, well, then I'll steal it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because stealing increases prices. Not buying things decreases prices.
Yeah.
So if you want, like, so we're in this like hyperinflation cycle where now all the retailers also have to increase prices or increase security or pay people more wages to possibly stop petty crime, because your average Target worker, I mean, let's get serious, probably doesn't want to risk their life or whatever for $15 an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of like, course not. Of course not.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do I stop it? So like it's like a death wheel that's coming for basically retail.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's only going to get worse. And I think the fact that you've created an environment where there's no prosecution up to a certain thing, all those people that might have not done crime because they didn't want to get in trouble, what is their motivation to not steal?
Yeah.
There's no motivation to not steal. If I can take $800 worth of merchandise, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
They even have these, there's like organized theft rings now that are occurring. And organized theft ring is basically like, let's say me and 20 of my guys or 20 of my friends, we're going to go into a store. We're all going to take whatever. And we're just going to do it all at once in the open. Doesn't matter. We're not going to steal enough to get prosecuted. We're out the door. But the collective steals, you know, 800 times 20 dollars worth of merchandise. A little 16 G's.
That's insane. Do you think that, I don't know, this may be off base, but I think it like kind of points to this bigger problem of, you know, no one wants to work in a job that they're, no one wants to do the grunt work anymore. It seems like there's something about social media where you go on social media and you see that everyone
has this great life and great job.
Has this like, oh my God, this person's famous. Oh my God, this person, they just post Instagram for a living. They're cool for a living. You know, this, like, I want to be cool for a living, and which is not reality. And so I think, you know, there's less and less of like, I'm going to do what I have to do to get by. It's just like, if I can't be cool for a living, then like, well, I'm just going to steal. And like, you know, I don't want to know, these people don't have to do anything hard. Like, so I shouldn't, I don't know if that makes sense or if that, you know, is even, there's any validity to that, but it just seems like there's this cultural thing of I'm not going to get a job at Target. You know, I'm not going to do these jobs that aren't glamorous.
There's no question that from the small business owners I'm close to, hiring has gotten extremely hard for hourly workers, because it used to be like summer hit, there's like an endless supply of the workers to help you run your restaurant, run your retail store, run your car wash, whatever you need help with. Nowadays there's far less applicants, and then you know, I think probably every generation complains about the next generation's work ethic. I think that's an ongoing theme. Like, that won't ever stop. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm my definitely granddad a grumpy
thought
old
I was
man.
A loser. My dad thought I was a loser. Yeah. And I think you're a loser.
Yeah. Well, I am a loser.
Loser!
I am a loser. Yeah.
Me and Dan are actually very close in age.
Yeah.
Not very.
No.
I'm 43. How old are you?
36.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah. 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 It's
closer to him than to me.
I am getting grumpy, though. I'm going to start. For some reason, I've been telling people to get off my lawn, and I live in an apartment. So I don't even know. I don't know what's going on there.
I think the only way to stop it, the only way to stop this snowball is to, I think each government, municipality, judicial system has to prosecute all crime, no matter what.
Of course.
Right? I don't think the penal system is the way to go. I think the penal system has no proven ability to rehabilitate anybody. You see, you know, repeat offenders get released. They go right back to doing terrible shit, yep. Going right back to jail, right? So the penal system that we have is not working. I think what is stopping us, and when I say this, people are probably like, what the fuck? But I think—
I can't wait to hear what you're about to say, Albert, because
I think this idea of cruel and unusual punishment, we got to throw that out. I know it's in the Constitution. We might have to change it a little bit. All right?
Just a little tweaksy.
I think the United States should make, I think that all governments should make incarcerated people work like brutally hard jobs in the benefit of society. And you're like an indentured servant from this point forward. You owe me not time, productivity. So you owe me a road. You owe me
a bridge.
Plumbing. You owe me. So but also, you'll have to go through some training program to obviously learn how to do the skill.
Yeah.
The reason why I put it to time is so that you can't just sit there and chill. Like,
yeah.
This doesn't get done until, like, let's say, like, the lead pipes of Flint, they're replaced. and they're gonna be replaced off your back. Like, you're gonna dig the trench. You're gonna learn how to attach the plumbing. It's gonna be validated by, let's say, a foreman. And I think that that is how we start moving people towards, because you would get reskilled.
Yeah, no, that might be the most rehabilitating thing.
Like, I'm gonna take this little shithead kid that wants to be an influencer, stealing goods so that he can make a good video. I'm gonna make him do backbreaking ass work. I'm gonna benefit society with some modern infrastructure. I'm gonna give you a skill besides YouTubing so that you can actually make a living, whether it's a little pulling electric cable, whether, I don't care.
Yeah,
I think we should treat more criminals with this idea that we're gonna rehabilitate you through brutally hard work and a job skill.
Albert Zoe, governor of the great state of North Carolina, 2024. Officially announcing his campaign today here on The Neutral Position with Nick Palmisano.
Hear, hear.
You like that idea?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It teaches them a skill and it, you know.
Hard work can also be very rehabilitative.
But that's never going to happen because prisoners have more rights than regular people right now.
That's right. Right. Well, and then if you read about the industrial prison complex, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because the federal government pays private entities huge money to run prisons.
Yeah.
You know? And if there aren't in prison people, you don't get them funds.
This whole industry.
Get paid to keep people in. So, like, this idea, that's why there's no effort to rehabilitate.
Because it doesn't make sense, because then they lose their money.
There's, like, conferences.
I need you to come back, dog.
You know how there's, like, you know, like tech conferences or like, you know, each different industries, you know, everyone goes to Vegas or Orlando and it's in a hotel. And
stop beating the table.
And there's booths and, you know, you go, there's like that for prisons. Like,
prison convention.
I make toilets, you know, like for prisons. So like, I've got a booth at a prison convention and all the wardens are coming around. It's like, well, my toilets are easy to install and it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's got no metal parts, so you can't make shivs.
You show them where they were.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 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 It's crazy.
So the other thing that, and when people talk about conspiracies, is that I wanted to hit on is this, like, this flywheel effect. I don't think it's on purpose, but it is encouraging more stealing, which is marketplaces. So, like, if these stores close down, you guys mentioned Amazon keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is actually the number one way these petty criminals make money, because
they steal it.
You get the merchandise.
And then they sell it on Amazon.
Exactly. I steal some perfume, like some Kylie perfume, which probably retails at $100 or whatever. I steal the Kylie cosmetics, because cosmetics are one of the highest stolen goods because they're high margin, small, easy to carry, right? Yeah. You don't actually want to steal that's hard to carry that shit out of there.
Yeah.
Easy to get makeup, easy to get smaller items. So makeup, perfumes, stuff like that, I get that. I go and flip it on Amazon. And so Amazon benefits because not only are they doing more transactional volume, but the retailers are closing, further choking the supply of dollars to e-commerce. Wow. So, like, I don't think Amazon's doing it on purpose, but I also think they're not incentivized to stop fraudulent goods. And that's what, like, if you watch, like, the rise of, you can read many articles on the rise of fraudulent or stolen goods on Amazon. They kind of just shrug their shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
They don't have an answer.
Nope. I don't have an answer.
And I don't know if they have an incentive to solve it. What say you, Hollywood?
You've made some great points, Albert. And I think as long as there's no punishment, nothing's going to stop people from doing it. If all of a sudden you could drive drunk, there'd be 100 million drunk drivers on the road every night.
I think there are already.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, there'd be 100 million more if there was no penalty for driving drunk.
Yeah.
I think people, a lot of people, not all people, but I think people take advantage of the system as much as they can.
Yeah. There was a case that just happened where this texting and driving, this guy killed a family. He just got hit with 20 years. I think you're going to start seeing the penalties for... go through, because there's no way to stop this.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't think, and if we're going to go back in, you know, are you going to be real? You'll probably come out hardened. I don't know. I don't know if the penal system's the penal system we have and the judicial system we have right now is probably not severe enough. I don't even know, is it not severe enough? All I know is places like Japan, Singapore, which have really harsh penalties,
because
you ain't stealing nothing.
Because thievery equals death in those places.
Yeah, caning.
Lose your hand. You know, so that's an incentive right there.
Yeah. Take a lash of the cane for stealing.
Entire village chasing you down because you took some chickens and
frozen chicken and
some
a guy's
big American guy's phone.
El Pollo Bandito.
El Pollo Bandito.
International Destorias.
Yo, dude, some of the guys, like, their literal plan was to cover him in honey, tie him up, cover him in honey, and put him next to some bullet ants. So, like, bullet ants are known for having the most painful bite.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, that's what they wanted to do.
That's
to this
what
guy.
We should do with shoplifters.
Like, cover his fucking his penis and his balls in honey and tie him down to a bullet ant.
Well, I cover my penis and balls in honey all the
time. Yeah, but that's an entirely different reason, Dan.
Yeah, I don't do it with bullet ants.
All right. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah. Okay. So I've got two.
I have a feeling this is just going to be so ridiculous.
No. This is the important topic. Okay.
Let's go.
I've got two thoughts on food related hot takes. Okay. First off, I just want to say something about avocado.
Yeah.
Avocado needs to get over itself. I'm sick of it. All avocado is a fruit with a good PR agent. You know, I'm sick of
vegetable?
No, it's a fruit. I just looked it up.
It's got seed.
All right, look, I'm sick of going to a restaurant and everything. Would you like avocado on that for an extra $35? You know, it's a super, does every vegetable or fruit have its own toast?
Why can't you just vote with your dollars?
Oh, I'm voting with my dollars on avocado. But I'm sick of this. It's the best. You know, all it is tasteless mush. Thoughts on avocado.
I love avocado.
I don't have an opinion on it.
Guacamole, man.
I'm not talking about guacamole. I'm talking about avocado. You know, it's got to be the turkey and avocado sandwich.
Avocado spread nicely on a nice, crisp piece of toast. Avocado toast is like the bomb, Dan.
It's mush.
No. It's just you don't have the taste buds that are.
But why are you getting fired up about this at
capable
all?
Of understanding.
Because it's become this classy, glamorous thing. You know, it's
when you decline avocado, I don't think that you're poor. I think you don't like it.
I have to agree.
You don't think avocado has been overhyped?
I think it's so tasty, delicious, and it's so magnificent. And what a great marketing ploy to take this fruit, as you call it, that's just nothing more than paste. And you've got the entire nation
exactly my point
for it.
Exactly my point. It's just got a good PR agent. I'm sick of avocado just to get over itself.
If you were as good a PR agent with Diesel Jack Media as they are, we would be thriving also. So I think this is just you looking at the inadequacies inside yourself and being angry about it.
I'll tell you what you just said there that is a real take, which is that marketing can sway people that much.
Absolutely.
No, it can't. Do you want to know why? Because no one would ever fail if that was the case. It just so happens, so a lot of things connected, and it makes it look like the marketing is what took off, but that's not the only reason why avocado is extremely popular.
Okay, what's the other reason?
Okay, I just want to say something right here. Albert is about to be Albert, and this is why I love him.
Why is that?
Because whatever you're about to say, I know it's just going to be Albert, and I'm just going to be...
You can't... So, and this is weird coming from someone who runs a marketing firm.
Right.
But you cannot market your way to success. I do not believe it for one second. There's a reason why the Fortune 500 has completely flipped basically every 10 years. Every 10 years, approximately, half the Fortune 500 falls off. Are you saying all these people forgot how to market? Did BlackBerry all of a sudden forget how to market? We don't know how to market our phones anymore. No. Better shit came about.
Well, yeah.
And there's a confluence of factors. It starts with having better shit, though. So you're talking, there's probably multiple dimensions that happen. So, because avocado farm, there's no avocado union. It's not like they can hire a marketing agent.
There's nobody in Washington that is the freaking avocado
lobbyist for the czar of avocado.
Yeah, czar like, lobbyist.
Making sure there my is. Fruit.
No, that's what you're
nobody
wrong.
Owns
there's
the fruit.
There's an underground network.
Nobody owns the fruit. You can
like
grow
QAnon,
it
like
right
QAnon.
Now.
Yes, yes.
It's for avocado.
There's no avocado cabal.
Avanon.
There's no avocado, and they're not smarter than fucking everybody because they picked an item of food that perishes within like a week.
Yeah, and I know. There's nothing good about avocado. I don't understand why it's so popular.
That's what makes it even more desirable because you've only got a week to eat it.
It's like prime green.
It's gone.
It like starts off as a hard brick, and it turns into a brown piece of crap.
Yeah,
and in between it's neon green.
In between, there's a window of about 14 hours where it's perfect.
Oh, it's a superfood.
It also takes 5 years for the if you because I planted avocado seeds. It takes 5 years for the thing to produce one fruit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So. So if I was that good at marketing, I would choose to market something that was way easier. More abundant than that.
I know.
And make a fortune.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what's going on with avocado.
It ain't a marketing game. I mean, it's a confluence of factors that make you think it's not marketing.
Okay. All right. Here's my other take.
There's no take.
No, the take is avocado, get over yourself. That's
it's not,
the take.
It's not, it doesn't have an opinion. It's a fucking fruit.
It needs to get over itself. Okay, here's the other
Who
take.
Who are you smashing?
Here's the other take I have.
All Sometimes right. he just amuses himself so much, I can't even, and this is why we argue, because he gets so amused. Earlier today when you were hating romance from a dying couple in a volcano.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
You're ugly now.
Yeah.
We burned alive together, but you're ugly now. So
well, it's like if you hold your hand, like I wanted to hold his hand while I was dying. I guarantee in 10 years, that's not the person, you wouldn't want to hold his hand while you're dying. Okay.
Bitter party of one. Now seating bitter party of one.
Here's my other important food take.
Okay. Important.
Very important.
Bro.
I am sick and tired. I am sick and tired of peanut butter being muddied up with chocolate all the time. Now hear me out. Peanut butter is the most delicious thing in the world. I'm sick and tired. Yeah, I'm at a restaurant. Rarely ever do you hear I never get dessert at a restaurant, but recently I heard we have a peanut butter pie for dessert. Well, I'm going to get it. Guess what?
Chocolate
crust. Okay, you didn't tell me it was a peanut butter and chocolate pie. You told me it was a peanut butter pie. I'm sick of every time, peanut butter ice cream with chocolate swirl. Just give me the peanut butter. Why do we have to have chocolate with peanut butter all the time?
I can answer that question.
Why is that?
You hate the Reese's people. Because the Reese's people are the ones that started peanut butter and chocolate.
But they did atone for their mistake because recently there was a all peanut butter cup. Peanut butter outside, peanut butter inside. I saw previews for it. It was the Peanut Butter Lovers Reese's Cup. I searched far and wide, finally found it at this little like mom and pop gas station.
Right now the audience is sitting there thinking like, this is the grumpiest old man conversation of all time. Like, why have a take on food at all? Didn't we just talk about the beginning of the show, just vote with your dollars? Just don't buy it.
Don't buy it, Dan. Don't buy it.
How easy is it to not buy?
Go to the grocery store, Dan.
Oh, I don't. But I'm
just go to the grocery store and buy a jar of peanut butter.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Chunky or creamy?
Either. Any of it.
Either.
Yeah. What I like to do is I like to get the peanut butter pretzel pillows. You know what I'm talking about? Like
the hell is that?
There's like pretzels with peanut butter inside.
Whoa, 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 whoa. That's pretzels and peanut butter. What's the difference between that chocolate and peanut butter?
Because I don't want chocolate with my peanut butter.
But you're putting pretzel with your peanut butter.
I take peanut butter and put it on the outside too. So I take a jar of peanut butter, scoop it with a spoon, take the peanut butter pretzel, and then put the peanut butter on the outside. For Father's Day, I'm not a father, but I am a good uncle. So my mom made me a Cam behind the camera had a piece of this. It was a layer of peanut butter cookie, a layer of peanut butter ice cream, a layer of peanut butter cookie.
That sounds gross.
A layer of peanut butter ice cream, and then peanut butter swirl on top. Best thing ever. Now that's how you do it. Okay. I'm sick and tired.
Did you taste it, Cam?
Delicious.
Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
I don't know. Why have an opinion on food at all?
I'm just avocado, get over itself. Stop muddying up peanut butter with chocolate.
Before we go today, because I know we're about to go, I want to talk about one more thing.
What's that?
Personal responsibility.
I have none. What's up?
I just watched a documentary last night about a volcano in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember? Can you say the name, Albert? Because I can't pronounce
it. They pronounce it.
It's White Island.
V sound. Vakari. So the movie
Waikiki?
Is here. I'll read the slug.
Yeah, we'll share the movie with you because everybody needs to watch this movie.
I'll read
it. It's a documentary, so it's exactly what happened.
So it is a... Let's pull up. I'll pull it up.
All
Netflix.
Right.
Netflix has a new... It's what is it called on Netflix? The Volcano.
Escape. Rescue.
Rescue from Vakari, Whakaari. Hollywood, break it down. What happened at Vakari?
So it's an island off the coast of New Zealand. There are boat tours that go out there.
And it's not just an island.
And helicopter tours. And on this island is a volcano.
The island is a volcano.
That's right. The island is a volcano, but it's still an island.
Yeah.
So you go up there, you pull up on the shore, you can walk about 800 yards straight in, and you're right at the crater. You look over the edge, and there's the volcano. Water, steam.
Sulfur.
It's not a lava volcano. It's a steam volcano. So this is the people have been touring this place for years. So in 2009, it's erupted. In 2013, it erupted for a couple hours. In 2016, and in 2019, it erupted again. The only difference between that eruption is all the other eruptions had been when there were no tourists there. And this volcano went off. There were two tour boats pulled up. One had just loaded its people up and was headed back. So there were about 46 people left on the island when this huge, massive steam cloud blackened and covered the entire island. 25 people died. 12 people were critically injured, but they survived. Now they're suing the owners of the island and the owners of the tour boats for taking them out to the island. Now, to me,
under the pretenses that it was safe. That's what they're accusing. Like, we thought it was safe.
It's a volcano. I mean, it's a volcano. It was an active volcano. It says on the description, tour an active volcano with sulfur and acid pools and all. I mean, yeah. It's right there. There has to come a point in time where you take responsibility for doing crazy shit. If I go on a lion safari and there's lions roaming free and the guy says, you're welcome to get out, but the lions are dangerous.
Yeah.
And I get out and go walking around and a lion attacks me. When does the point come that it's a lion?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done that. Does or does not a point ever occur where you have to take responsibility for doing something crazy and whoever is offering to help you do something crazy is no longer responsible?
So there's a super high standard for anything man-made. So like this happened at Carowinds recently, for anyone that's not familiar, Carowinds has a huge roller coaster. The thing cracked in half. And like, it did take a long time for them to realize, like, oh, the actual structure is cracked in half. We're going to stop the ride. There's a duty of a man-made structure that if you've made that, you have to be responsible. You have to be responsible. But I agree. If we're going to go see a natural occurring thing, which I have zero control over, an eruption, zero.
Yeah.
An earthquake. Oh, hurricanes. Hurricanes are the most nonsensical, actually, to me. When people die in hurricanes.
Because they stay behind.
Yeah, this shit's coming for like a week. The shit's coming for a week.
If you're in the Dominican Republic, or you know, then that's different. Because then you can't leave. You don't have the abilities. But if you don't get in your car and drive out of Miami because there's a Cat 5 hurricane headed right towards it.
What about the weather people who are out there and like... did you see the one guy? He had like a football helmet on or something.
Oh, when Jim Cantore rolls out.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He had like a football helmet on. I mean, that's their Super Bowl, though. I guess that's why he wore a football.
No, they
helmet,
got to. They live for that.
I mean, that is their Super Bowl.
They sign up for that.
Absolutely.
There's no question that Jim Cantore signs up to go into a Cat 5.
Oh,
he like can't
for
wait.
Sure.
That's like that's his jam. I don't think anyone's forcing him to do that.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
That's his.
So if you elect, I agree with Hollywood. If you elect to choose to go see a natural occurring but dangerous thing. Like you decide to go when people go swimming with sharks. So you can go swimming with, so like a great white is in a cage, but there are tours where you can
check out
other sharks, like in your like wetsuit and stuff and swim among them. And every now and then you get bit.
Yeah, you can't hold the people that are doing the venue. You can't hold them responsible.
Yeah.
It's a shark. You're a freaking idiot. The shark just realized that day that it was a shark and decided to do things, what sharks do.
Yeah, it was like,
I'd see the shark.
It's like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
When Roy got bit by the tiger.
He got bit in the neck. I'm surprised.
Everybody wanted to put the tiger down. They may have put the tiger down. It's a tiger. It's not the tiger's fault. Yeah. I mean, I don't care how well you train it. One day it's going to remember, oh, I'm a tiger.
Yeah. I don't want to jump through this fucking ring of fire.
Yeah. I want to bite that guy in the neck because I'm hungry.
You honestly, if we're being honest, Roy had it coming to him.
I mean, So I just think there has to come a time. And when I watched that documentary last night and then saw at the end that the people were suing the boat company and the owner of the island, I'm just like, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of.
If and this is what's happening to a lot of experiences already, if we become, and we already are there, if we're too litigious, you just end up losing the thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why there's no more high dives. People were suing like public pools because they were getting hurt on high dives. Like you look for a high dive. You will not see a high dive.
Well, guess what?
Outside of like a diving academy.
How long for the day of the high dive?
Guess what?
What?
There's no more volcano tours on that island.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to lose. If we become a litigious society, we're just going to lose all the things that were pretty cool, probably.
Yeah.
Well, we missed you, Nick.
Listen,
we miss you, Nick.
Enjoy your vacation. He's at an undisclosed location. He's trying to have fun. I don't really know what Nick does for fun. Let's picture what he's doing. He's
wherever he is.
He's on his cell phone.
His laptop's in front of him.
Well, he's not. I don't know if his laptop's, because he's not like logging on to Slack stuff.
He's on Slack?
He's not. His active button's off. So his wife might have made him like delete his Slack account for, you know what I'm saying? Like uninstall it for the week.
That would be great. I would love that. Man, I would love that.
Yeah. Nick's an odd cat. Like, I don't know what he does for joy.
He works.
I never considered that before.
Like, what does he do for joy? He probably mixes peanut butter and chocolate and makes
just to make Dan crazy and then has some avocado toast afterwards.
I was actually going to say, Nick, I know you're sad you missed the conversation. We'll get your thoughts on avocado and peanut butter next week.
Right now, Nick is probably thinking, those guys are doing the rap. I know they're out of control.
I'm trying to picture what he's doing. Like, he's at the –
we can't disclose it.
Oh, that's okay.
No.
There's sand where he's at.
He's in an environment where most people, he does not do any of the things that people that like to go to those environments do. It'd be like the equivalent of you sending me to like a flat parking lot, like a shopping mall. Like, why would I be in a shopping mall for vacation? I would fucking hate every second of it.
I can tell you,
steal some shit.
I can tell you this though. I can tell you this, that last night I received this.
What, little karaoke Backstreet Boys? So he's at a karaoke bar. Okay, there he is. Well, he's not. Oh, he's not karaoke bar.
I want it that way.
And with that, that's the wrap. We'll see you all next week.